Donina, would you like to say any more about the danger of reality?
No, this morning we heard about seeing the danger, and then I felt I had to really consider this. One has to consider little by little, as Ajahn says, and even first knowing the moment of awareness, and without awareness is necessary. And Panya knows awareness is there, but it is very weak, and I understood it is only a higher stage of vipassana, jnana, which really sees the danger, not before. And one has to know the arising and falling away by realizing it, not just theory, but vipassana, jnana.
Yes.
So we cannot expect.
But how can that moment arise, the vipassana, jnana, the highly developed one? It has to be from now on, from hearing that life is so dangerous. Nothing but that which arises and falls away all the time.
Yes. From now on.
Nothing's left.
But from now on, can you say? Yes.
From this morning on, up to now.
Up to now.
And then from now on.
From now
Chitta
on.
And Chittasikas work their way. No one there.
Yeah. So even from now on, it's very, very hard for us.
It's not the matter of us or anybody,
but
it's a function of citta and
cetasika. So we just listen and we consider.
Citta and cetasika.
Yeah, they listen and consider.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
They developed.
But much more cannot be done.
Nothing. Only right understanding. The most important thing is right understanding.
Yes.
Don't mind about awareness, don't mind about seeing the danger or whatever. Without the understanding of reality at moment of being aware, it's impossible to understand the danger of cycle of birth and death.
Yes. So no awareness, only pariyatti.
So which will condition
later on. So it cannot be known yet.
Yes, even they are now and here.
Yes.
Everything we're talking about.
Yes.
The point is that Ajahn's just talking about realities, so it's not a matter of doing anything, not even a matter of trying to listen or trying to study more, because immediately that's the idea of self, as soon as there's any doing.
Yeah.
But by understanding realities, that's how the understanding develops. Until it begins to appreciate how dangerous each conditioned reality is. So it begins with the wise considering about different realities at this moment. And at those moments of wise considering, there's no idea of doing anything or trying to be aware or trying to understand or thinking that it's too hard or nothing until vipassana jnana, because that's not considering about reality at this moment. So it always comes back to now and understanding the nature of those realities which appear now, like seeing now, it arises and it's so fleeting, but because of clinging, it's dangerous in that sense.
So we should not mind much about not seeing the danger and worrying about it. It's no good.
Just understanding what is heard. About realities.
Yeah. But you said consider now, but we want to know or wonder how to consider.
If you say we want to know or we want to consider, that is not considering.
That's not considering
at this moment. That's just loba and I wanting to get a result. It's the opposite of wise considering at this moment. So when we talk about wise considering, we're talking about panya, understanding, just naturally, easily, not how can I understand or trying to do something or trying to catch it or trying to work it out.
Of course, yeah.
So that's what's meant by naturally.
Yeah.
But self and clinging to self gets in the way all the time and hinders the natural considering or understanding now.
Yeah, that's right.
And only Panya can know that, because now it's not known. So Panya begins to listen carefully, consider carefully, and it develops by that way.
Otherwise, if it's not panya, it's back to trying to catch reality, like when people talk about going to the meditation center or focus on an object, it's clear. But what about when there's trying to catch the danger of realities now, or trying to catch what is awareness? It's just the same. It's still the self conditioning that wrong practice at that moment.
Yes.
Coming back in the van, Jan was telling me about how once she went for a walk here and got completely lost until a car came, and so I told her about when we were at Gangrajan this time, how I got lost at all. And we were talking about how actually even at those times, getting lost any time, there are just dharmas and can be understanding any time at all. We never know what dharmas will be. But actually getting lost is just a long story about different dharmas, that's all.
Yeah.
Otherwise people think about Sanya Vipalasa or something in terms of putting your keys in the wrong place or turning the wrong way, but actually it always comes back to citta at this moment. So even when getting lost, there can be panya any time, understanding of realities any time. Nothing to do with the conventional ideas of memory at all.
So having confidence in panya, because there are conditions for its arising at any time, unknowingly. The feeling at moment of being lost, see, can be object of understanding.
The other day we were talking about different meanings of nimitta, and we were talking, or different aspects, we were talking about, for example, those who have developed samatha, nimitta of concept, and we were talking about nimitta, sankhara nimitta, how each reality has its own nimitta, and this is sankhara nimitta. And we were talking about nimitta of visible object and how it's not one visible object but many objects, and this is nimitta of visible object. And you also mentioned in passing that one thinks about everything as nimitta. Thinks about everything as nimitta. When you said, oh, it was kind of in reference to when one's just thinking a lot of about stories about getting lost or something, thinks about everything as nimitta. What do you mean by that?
Because it's all concept.
Because it's all concepts. And there, when you talk about
thinking about everything as nimitta, you mean thinking about the concepts as nimitta?
Nimitta is concept. Nimitta is concept. But I think when we were talking once before about nimitta, you were saying only that, like in the development of samatha, it's nimitta of concept, but otherwise it refers to...
So we have to understand different concept and different kinds of nimitta.
Right. So just thinking generally, we can talk about thinking about nimitta, just nimitta of concepts in general thinking.
The world of nimitta.
The world of nimitta. The world of concepts. And when we talk about sankhara nimitta and talk about each reality having nimitta, but how actually what is known now as the nimitta of not one but many, many realities, can one say both are sankhara nimitta, whether it's one or many, it's still...
When it's sankhara nimitta, it is not rupa nimitta. It's not Vedana nimitta. This is by way of five khandhas.
Yes. Okay, so then it's not referring to any conditioned reality. It's just referring to nimitta of sankhara khanda. Okay.
Sankhara dhamma.
Sankhara dhamma.
Yes. Conditioned reality. But not all concepts. Then.
No, but this is not of rupa, so not of any conditioned reality, only of sankhara khanda dhamma.
Nimitta.
Yeah.
Can you explain what you mean by sankhara dhamma?
Well, sankhara dhamma refers to any conditioned reality, but if we're referring to sankhara khanda, it's just referring to any of the 50 chetasikas apart from sanya and vedana. And when we talk about sankhara nimitta, I thought it was referring, like Nina mentioned, to the nimitta of any conditioned reality. But Ajahn is saying, no, it's Sankhara Nimitta. It's referring to the Nimitta of one of those 50 Sankhara Kanda Dharmas,
yes,
particularly.
That's right.
When we classify by way of five Khandas, otherwise all are Sankhara Nimitta. But when we talk about Rupa Nimitta, Vedana Nimitta, we classify it as Sankhara Dharmas Nimitta.
It depends on the context, whether it's just referring to Sankhara Kanda or just any conditioned reality. And then it is referring to the Nimitta of one reality only when we're referring to Sankhara Nimitta, because each reality has Nimitta. But when we use the fire stick analogy and talk about the Nimitta of visible object.
But usually when we talk about Nimitta, we talk about the series.
Series, so yeah. It's the same, that's Sankhara Nimitta. So even if we're talking about the series of visible object.
Because one reality has its own characteristic.
Yes.
But it arises and falls away in split seconds. It's impossible. Even Panya cannot exactly experience each reality in process.
So one can, if one's not specifically talking about the khandhas and one talks about the Nimitta of visible object, one can refer to the Sankhara Nimitta because it's conditioned, because it's not particularly
like
in the
now, night Sankhara now. Sankhara Nimitta.
So it depends on the complexity.
And now it's Rupa Nimitta. And when it's feeling Nimitta.
And the reason, if we're talking about just thinking about everything, thinking about whatever is here as Nimitta, as opposed to thinking about everything as Panyati, because, well, it's not necessarily in words or anything, but thinking about everything as Nimitta and thinking of everything as Panyati, what's the difference?
In order to know that what is experienced in life is only Nimitta. We live in the world of Nimitta.
Can we not say we live in the world of concepts?
Yes.
Concepts about
yes.
Realities.
Because there must be realities, and it arises and falls away in split seconds, in processes, fleet. Mm. So what appears and what is left is shape and form. And that is Nimitta.
But if we think about everything as Nimitta, like in a dream, thinking about all the ideas about the shapes, the forms, the colors. Can one talk about in a dream, just dream, thinking and dreaming about all the Nimitta?
All Nimitta, even seeing right now, yes, is Nimitta of seeing.
But can we say, in this case, it is Nimitta of reality,
yes.
Not just Panyati in general?
Without reality, there is no Panyati, no Nimitta, nothing at
that
all.
That is true.
But the realities arise and fall away in split seconds.
Yeah.
So what appears is different shape and form.
Yeah.
Like pleasant feelings, see? How many moments?
But we have, the characteristic of seeing has to be understood as a reality. Seeing is real.
At moment of seeing, it's the reality which sees or which experiences. The reality which experience.
And this is not a concept. It's real.
But Nimitta of seeing.
Nimitta
is known.
Seeing.
Not the one.
Not the actual one. It's impossible. I understand that. But in that case, concept is also a different meaning. In
idea.
Yeah, it's not a dream. It's not a dream.
It's trying to draw the distinction between thinking of shape and form, which is going to give rise to concept, and experiencing the nimitta of the visible object.
Yes.
That's just because of the rapidity of the rising and falling
condition
away.
Concept.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
different.
Something.
We use the term concept for the thinking about shape and form, but when it's the rapidity of rising and falling away, that you say if there's awareness of the visible object, but it's the nimitta of the visible object, and we don't call that concept.
It's not shape and form, nimitta.
So even if it's
shape and form is also nimitta.
Shape and form is nimitta of rupa.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because it's already.
And then the it conditions concept as seeing or eye or ears or table or chair.
I see. Right.
And that's
thank you.
Another kind of concept. It's a dream. It's not real. It's illusion.
Whatever arises and falls away, no return. It's like a dream, even right now. So each life is a dream.
Yes.
When there's no understanding of no self at all. We dream about our life, friends, people,
yes.
Properties.
It's not so clear. I understand when I see this.
Oh, okay.
Or.
Okay, start from a moment.
Yeah.
Of whatever.
Yes.
It's not nimitta yet, right? But it has its own characteristic, which experience.
Yes.
But one moment, the actual one moment cannot be understood.
That I understand.
Or directly experienced.
Yeah.
At all. So whatever appears is the nimitta of the succession of the arising and falling away rapidly.
Yes. Yes.
That is nimitta. And then where is the idea of that nimitta as something as people, chairs, tables, that is concept.
Yes, I see that. Yeah.
Yeah, like now. Always like now. A dream because the previous one has gone completely unknown.
So if what I'm getting from this conversation with Nina is that there is no distinction between sleeping and what I've seen, I mean, what has I-base sees and has fallen away, and then thinking about it. It seems that way, but there isn't. Even if it's hours or weeks or days earlier, it's still nimitta.
It's the beginning of understanding reality as it is. Rupa, that which cannot experience, and nama, that which experiences. That's all. Comes down to nama and rupa right now. What is seen?
Visible object.
We call it visible object, but it's a reality which can be seen. See, only that. It's a reality, no one. It has fallen away all the time.
Yes.
Nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no self. Learn to understand that actually there's no self at all. But there is the clinging to the idea of self from life to life, eons and eons. How far from this moment to moment of understanding reality as it is? At this moment of seeing, and it's hindered by ignorance, attachment, until it gets lesser and lesser, until it appears this is the path. Long way. Long path. But this is that Buddha had enlightened. It does mean that just to know, to understand, that is only theoretical understanding, intellectually. But this can be discerned by Panya, which understands more and more, better and better, of non-self. So what we talk about must be non-self. Rupa is that which is hard at moment. When it appears, otherwise it's gone, arising and falling away all the time. Not be object of experience at all. So that which appears is the arising and falling away as nimitta of hardness. So Panya discerned the arising and falling of it in order to see the danger of samsara. Nothing but from nothing to something and then nothing again. Completely gone. So no matter this life is, last life was, and whatever, never come back. So it's the development of understanding from moment to moment to begin to understand what is seen, what is heard, moment of thinking, and whatever in one's life, daily life.
I hear a lot that realities arise and fall away, but there is belief that this happens. But you know, when you say it's gone already, it's like, but it hasn't. It's still there. The nimitta of seeing, you know, that yes, you say it's gone already. It's mm-hmm. gone already, but it's the continuation of seeing, right. And continuation of the arising mm-hmm. of seeing and the arising yeah. of rupa mm-hmm. that seems to make it last.
So we can see how great right understanding has to be mm-hmm. in order to really discern the nature of realities now as they are.
Mm-hmm. And you also mention how long it takes, and yes, that's understandable also.
Parami.
Parami.
Without parami, all kinds of kusala is impossible, because citta will be more ignorance and attachment and akusala more and more.
But in this context, I have still trouble with the word concept, panyati, because I thought there were different meanings of panyati or degrees of panyati. I don't get it quite, because I thought the nimitta of visible object, okay, but it is a concept of a reality, not just any concept.
Okay. Do you see this table?
It is thinking, it's not seeing.
Yes. But without seeing, can they be thinking of such shape and form?
No.
After experience the nimitta, there is concept about that.
Yes.
This is Sarah for sure, not me. See? Concept. But what is seen is shape and form.
So the seeing conditions the experiencing of nimitta, and the experiencing of nimitta conditions the experiencing of concepts about the nimittas of realities.
Yes, once you wrote about it and said leading to. It leads to thinking.
So seeing leads to the experiencing of nimitta, and that leads to the thinking about concepts about those.
That's another step. Nimitta. Thinking about concepts is another step.
Yes.
First is it leads to thinking of visible object, no? I find it really difficult how to see, in this case, different meanings of concept. Concept of a reality or just concept?
Well, it can be concept of a reality and concept of color, concept of shape and form, concept of reality, concept of something, concept of people, and then concept about the name Nina holding.
Yeah.
So different kinds of thinking,
concept.
But all beginning with the experiencing of nimitta.
Do you smell something? Do you smell something now? Smell.
When I smile?
Smell.
Smell. Yes. Yeah.
Do you smell something now? Yes. It's the...
I don't smell anything now.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
I smell coffee.
See? But before coffee?
Just
smell nimitta.
I smell the nimitta.
Just like the impression before there's any thinking about
Before there's thinking, there's...
Of coffee.
I understand that, yeah.
But still in that example I mentioned where you said you thinks about everything as nimitta, usually we would say thinks about everything as concepts about nimitta. So think, because usually as soon as there is thinking, it's thinking about concepts, ideas already, because there's the, after the seeing, there's the just the impression of the smell, but usually the thinking is about concepts.
Without nimitta, can there be concepts?
No. So
without reality, can there be nimitta?
So it thinks about everything as nimitta. It's really thinking about everything as concepts.
Not concept
on,
yet.
Not yet. Okay, yes. Just the first impressions. Yes.
Can you repeat this a little? It's so difficult for me.
It's just like the example of the coffee. So yes. There's the smelling, and then instantly there's kind of like an impression, of that odor. But
yeah.
So just a very quick idea, but no words or thought or anything.
Yeah.
And then afterwards there's thinking about that particular smell and so on.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes we cannot tell what the smell is.
No.
But there is smell.
Just that impression.
The nimitta. Mm.
But can one say that
it is sankhara nimitta, because then it seems to be, as soon as it's thinking about it, it seems to be
that's
a bit further down. It's not quite sankhara nimitta.
Rupa nimitta.
Yes.
No concept yet.
No. But then there's thinking about that impression of the odor, so then it's not sankhara nimitta anymore, because it is an impression on account of the sankhara nimitta, and then afterwards there's thinking about the concept.
This gets me. I get confused then.
That's got, and yeah, at the level of satipatthana, so for example, seeing sees visible object, so when satipatthana arises, only experience the nimitta of the object.
Yes.
Thank you.
Even when it's vipassana jnana.
Even when it's the direct understanding of the arising and falling away of realities.
Of nimitta.
It's still sankhara nimitta.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Would you add sankhara? You add sankhara nimitta.
Even you don't say it.
Yeah.
It is.
Just to make it clear that it is the nimitta of reality, not nimitta of concept or anything else, not an idea. So sankhara nimitta is to make it very clear. It is the characteristic of reality, which is known because we're talking about satipatthana and vipassana jnana.
Yeah.
So it has to be direct understanding of reality.
See, it is a nimitta of a reality, not a nimitta choi.
Let's go back to when the coffee was put in front of Nina, and Ajahn said, "What's this?" And you said, "Coffee." And then what happened after that? How did nimitta come into this?
For a while, I was thinking of Nina. A cup of coffee. For a while, I was just thinking of a cup of coffee.
This is a cup of coffee.
Only smell can be a cup of coffee.
No, smell as well.
The nimitta of smell is different from the nimitta of a cup, right? That is what I want to know. You want to ask more?
Ajahn then said to Nina, "Well, before you knew it was coffee, what was there? Is that right?"
Nothing. No impression.
There must be.
Impression.
There must be the experiencings of smell.
No, only when I went out this, I could. My smelling sense is not so good. I'm old.
It doesn't matter, but I'm talking about the moment of experiencing a smell,
a
nimitta of smell.
Smell, yeah.
It's the same with any sense or experience. There may be a moment before we know what it is.
All
sense to it. So why is this nimitta though? And
because how can just one reality be known?
Mm-hmm.
That's impossible. Not one unit. One unit is impossible because they arise and fall away all the time, and that I understand.
Right.
Yeah.
But the sense or consciousness experiences.
The same to all, not a moment of seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It's known.
Right.
That I can get, yeah.
Can you smell now?
Not much.
Sweet smell.
Nope. I don't.
And already by my saying sweet smell, it's already I'm putting a store. It is.
If you don't say it out, it's still sweet smell.
It's
for you.
Still a sweet smell, yes. But isn't that gone already into thinking about smell? I mean, the smell is
different
merely a
moment.
Smell.
But even if it's not thought about, that particular smell is
it's
different from another smell.
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
It's still what is experienced, even if there's no idea about it at all.
When you mentioned
shape and form, because usually as soon as there is an idea of shape and form, then it's no longer the visible object, it's the idea about, it's the first impression of visible object, the colour, the shape and form. But you said that the shape and form is nimitta, whereas I would say that visible object is experienced and it has its own nimitta, and then instantly there is idea of shape, form, color, and thinking.
Just like coffee, shape and form of coffee.
Yeah.
That is not seen, but it
is
smelled.
There.
Do you smell coffee?
I can't smell coffee. I can't smell coffee. I can smell beep, beep, don't beep. Or
but kunina.
Yeah, the wind.
Okay.
I can smell flower smell.
I see. But here's the coffee. But I smell.
Yes.
I'm here.
Yes.
And it blows this way.
Yeah. Well, it's not that way anyway.
All around.
Can you?
Depends whether there are any
depends whether there are any conditions to
nature.
See, different moment, different conditions, different nimitta, unknown until hearing the teachings.
Is an idea, but the nimitta of the five khandhas is not an idea.
Shape and form is not idea yet.
Yeah, not
idea. Yet.
Not yet idea.
Not yet idea.
Yeah.
So even
like before when we say about how the experiencing conditions thinking about shape and form, but even so one can talk about the, even though it's the smell of coffee, about the shape and form before there's thinking about it, or shape and form of visible object as an aspect of the visible object, like the light is an aspect of visible object before there's, so it's part of the nimitta of visible object before there's any thinking about it.
Just following up on Metta's question, we talk about shape and form of, say, the visible object, don't we?
All realities.
All realities have shape and form, right?
Even of sound.
Mm-hmm.
But the shape and form conditions different ways of thinking about the reality. So not all visible object is the same. The explanation for that is their different shape and form.
And that's why the
smell that's smelt, even if there's no thinking, it's still that smell, that sweet smell or whatever. It's part of the nature of that odour, the shape and form of that odour. And when in the suttas they talk about not getting caught up or not thinking about the nimitta nupiyanjana, the shape and form, then it's referring to thinking about the shape and form, or thinking about the nature of that reality.
Right, it talks about attending to or not attending to the shape and form. When there is detachment, there's no attending to the shape and form, which is what Sarah described as getting caught up with.
when there is attachment, the huge stories that follow of politicians and trees and all sorts of things.
And easy to be known. It's not easy.
In English, when we use shape and form, we use it of visible object. We don't use it of sound or smell.
But how can you explain the different sounds?
The word impression may be easier. An impression of sound.
In terms of the teachings of shape and form, we just use shape and form.
Sometimes we use sign and details. I think sign and details is better for nimitta anupayanjana. Sign instead of shape, sign and details. Then whatever reality it has, a sign.
Yeah. Because shape and form is confusing for me.
Yeah, I think so. Can it be later?
Sign and details.
Details.
Can it be later?
Later, after the shape and form of reality.
Well, we could say each
reality has its own particular sign and details.
Because you see that when I see this, see, shape and form, brown,
yes,
things like
object,
that.
Yeah.
But there must be moment of experiencing the nimitta.
That's why the nimitta.
And the shape and form of the nimitta.
Yes.
Condition the shape and form of the idea.
Can one say that each reality has its nimitta and upyanjana?
But we talk about moment when it's known.
Yes.
As this one, see, excuse me. Shape and form and color and sign, design, see?
Well, that's thinking about the concepts about it. Yes.
Ideas about it.
But there must be shape and form to be thought about before the concept.
Before it,
So it doesn't matter as long as nimitta. We know that it's the nimitta of reality.
So the anupayanjana, is it always referring to the details that are thought about as concepts? So that's the difference, yeah.
Like the details.
So immediately it's
thinking about ideas about the nimitta.
Some writers have tried to classify the different processes following the experiencing of the visible object, like...
Who?
I don't know.
I think that he took it from somewhere.
Yes.
And just the words.
Right.
Also clear.
I think it's perhaps found among the Burmese writers. So here in the introduction to the Abhidhammata Sangaha, he talks about vision, chakku, dvara, viti, different vitis in seeing a visible object, the vision. Chakku dvara viti, the reproductive sequel, tat anuvattaka manu dvara viti, conceiving the name, nama panyati viti, and discerning the meaning of the name, atta panyati viti.
I don't know if
these are from the text or just the Burmese tradition.
It doesn't matter as long as it's true.
Yes.
We have to just understand the truth of reality.
Right.
We have to check it.
I'm not sure.
Check
it's,
it now.
Yes. I was going to say.
And he doesn't know about is it now. He doesn't know. He thinks of sealing that.
Mm-hmm. That's why one has doubts about that. When one reads that, one has doubts whether it's really from the text or whether it's the writer's own creation.
So we hear about it, I read it, I remember those descriptions. But something is lacking, and that is it now? Is it now? That is lacking. And then that is the only way to check. Like Ajahn helps us to understand all those words. We can go wrong completely wrong.
Please excuse me. Jonathan, would you read those few lines again?
He says, he's talking about the word viti, which means a road along which the mind travels by marked and unalterable stages. And he says, in the one mental act of sense perception, there are four vitis. The first is vision, or chakudvara viti. The second is what he calls reproductive sequel.
Following.
Tadanuvataka manodvara viti.
We're covering that word vata this morning, that which is the cycle that follows. Anu was following that following cycle. Tadanuvataka.
Thank you. The third one is conceiving the name, nama panyati viti. And the fourth one is discerning the meaning of the name, atta panyati viti.
Because we have talked a little bit about those different panyati ajan, ajans, because I was confused at the time. What is the difference between nama panyati and atta panyati? We talked a little bit about that earlier on too.
If there is no word, there is panyati before the word, before thinking of the word.
Ajahn, can we say that that's quite a, probably a simple, perhaps somewhat oversimplified, because there are possibly millions of bhavangas between, and there are lots of, there are many panyatis between, atta panyatis, not just one nama panyati, there possibly could be thousands, mm-hmm. and so on, yes. Yeah.
In the sequence we just read about, the nama panyati precedes the atta panyati.
Yes, right.
But I understood what Ajahn was saying, which is what I would think would be the situation, that one thinks of the meaning before giving it expression by a word.
See, we know that before we give the word.
You said before thinking of the word, there is panyati or no panyati?
I didn't. Many, countless.
Before thinking of the word, there is panyati. There is.
One has the idea
before it is put into words.
Yeah.
For example, you like something before say, ah, that's nice.
Like your example once, a child who does not know the language.
Or what about the dog running around, countless thinking about panyati, even though no word or...
Yeah, right, that's clear, yeah.
So,
this example, lacking something. There's lacking something. The now.
Jonathan pointed out that even though it seemed to me a relatively kind of like perhaps oversimplified version of what may happen, and as Ajahn said, we can test that. Obviously, we know there is chakudvara viti, and then the then the mind or process that follows that, which he calls tad anuvattika manodvara viti. And then this is the point that Jonathan made, that conceiving the name nama panyati viti, and then discerning the name atta panyati viti. So what seems to be, from what we were talking about earlier, Ajahn, was that atta panyati viti would be first, and then nama panyati viti.
I see you before I say Kunsundra.
Hence the doubts about passages like that. The important thing is that one can in due course know for oneself some of these things, but better not to have a preconceived idea about it.
Anyway, one can just say that the reality is experienced, and there's the impression of that reality, and then an idea about it, and then thinking about words relating to it, and so on. Just many countless mind or processes. And
But without the reality and the experiencing of the impression of the reality, there couldn't be any of that thinking.
What translation does she give for atta there in the fourth VET?
Knowing the meaning.
I don't think he's... He doesn't say knowing the meaning. Knowledge of the name or something.
Discerning the name. Discerning the meaning of the name.
The meaning of the name. That's not really what it says, though, is it?
Well, that's what it does. You've probably put
them
in the wrong order.
But atapanyati viti wouldn't mean the meaning of the name, would it?
Sorry, can you repeat that, Johnson?
Sorry. Atapanyati viti would not mean the meaning of the name. Name is nama.
Knowing the meaning of the name.
Can it be of the word?
All right. Yeah, I would conceiving the name nama panyati, which would strictly be speaking atta panyati viti, conceiving the name. I'm a bit confused myself.
Anyway, I can see that if one is hearing something, that it's kind of in the reverse. You hear the name and then you understand the meaning, but when you see an object, you actually know what you see before you know what its name is.
Because through the eye door there cannot be seeing. There can be only hearing and understanding the meaning.
Hearing through the ear door.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of language going on there, but I don't know what they're saying.
Yes.
Because I don't read advanced Tamasat, but I see some shape and form, and after that I read Tamasat. And think of the university. Afterwards I think of the university.
So there's
big
many, stories.
Many processes, yes.
There must be a lot more sense impressions and mind or process, but many must go by before there's words spoken about what seen, heard, tasted. So
it depends.
Millions.
It depends, yeah. On each moment.
Yes.
Right. So there are namas and rupas, and we learn to understand nama as not self, rupa as not self by different words. That's all. But the point is to understand the characteristic which is not self, as that which experience or that which cannot experience. This is the beginning.
Yeah, and that we lack in your quotation of the book. In that quotation
about
the different vittis, we lack that aspect.
Different topic. When we were talking about the Mangala Sutta the other day, Alan brought up the blessing about skills.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about skills which are used for a wholesome purpose as being referred to, and I kind of checked in the sutta and the commentary note, and this is what it said. For example, one may have the skill of speaking or cooking, but is it used for kusala or akusala purpose? But it seems like a long story about reality. Why not just refer to moments of kusala?
Is skill no advantage at all?
Well, it depends whether the cheetah's kusala or not. If the cheetah now is not kusala, if it's a kusala cheetah, one cannot say
so
it's an advantage.
So we have to understand the difference between kusala and skillful.
Yes, so skillful can be kusala or akusala skill.
So when we talk about mangala, it has to be wholesome.
Has to be wholesome, that's all we need to know, really. Yes.
A bit like the one that
Sundra was mentioning, dissociating with the unwise. Well, also has to be kusala, because if one's dissociating out of aversion or just because one doesn't like that company, then that's not what it's meant at all. So it has to always be the kusala at this moment. And associating with the wise actually means with the Buddha and Buddha's teaching, really, at this moment.
Not with attachment.
Not
see?
With attachment.
All
like even
must
now.
Must be kusala.
Yes. Like even now, one could say one's associating with one's good friends, but actually can only refer to moments of kusala, otherwise it's not any associating with the wise. So actually whatever we read has to come back to this moment and the chitana.
And I think it's the same with the dissociation from the unwise. It would have to be kusala.
Yes. That's what I mentioned. If one just keeps away from people who have wrong ideas just because one doesn't want to be with them, or just out of aversion, or just because one thinks that they're bad company, that isn't any blessing at all.
That's why the words of Buddha should be carefully considered.
We hear things like that and we think of them as things to do. I should associate less with unwise people. I should associate more with the wise, but that's not
this
what
is,
it's meant.
Yeah.
It happens or it doesn't by conditions.
That's just more attachment,
yeah.
More clinging to oneself and what's best for me.
Yeah, and what about understanding the benefit of metta at any time? We don't know beforehand, any place. It doesn't mean that I must or I should, but it depends on accumulation.
And someone brought up the other day on the list the question of being respectful or paying respect to those who are due respect, asking what this really meant.
Respect kusala.
Yes. So it can be for any being, but only if it happens naturally by conditions.
So one understands that one respects kusala, not
yes.
The kusala.
Yes.
I think there were two different aspects, because actually the conversation was talking about punya kiriyawatu. So we can talk about just respecting kusala, because there cannot be respect via kusala. But if one's talking about the sila section in the punya kiriyawatu, the deeds of merit, and the reverence, I've forgotten the Pali, adi something, I think it's referring to any kusala when helping or respecting the elderly, or any moments of
any
kusala.
Any moment of kusala.
To anyone at all. It mm-hmm. doesn't mean just paying respect to someone's kusala, just any moment of kusala, showing kindness or support or helpfulness at those moments.
So can one say that
paying respect to kusala is actually
seeing...
Respect. Seeing the value in kusala and... Yeah.
And in the van here,
we had a little discussion about dhatus, and we were talking about, well, apart from the first 15, the sense experience, sense space, sense object times 5, and then the next one, mano dhatu, which refers to the 3 cheetahs that only experience sense objects. Now, the Panchadwara Vajana and the 2 Sampaticchana cheetahs. And one time I was explaining about dhatus, and I said, oh, these, they're the ones that only experience objects through the sense doors. And I thought you corrected me to say only experience sense objects. Is there any difference?
Only
sense objects. So you were just emphasizing
yes.
Only sense objects. And Sundara was bringing up about the Santirana cheetahs, and we were discussing how, for example, they can have the function of birth consciousness, and at that moment one cannot say they only experience objects through the sense doors, because it can be any object.
It can perform the function of Tadalampana through mind.
Right, also as well as birth consciousness. So it can perform
not only five,
not only five also Tadaramana.
dhatus are?
Dhatus are elements. So any realities are dhatus, elements, conditioned elements, and even nibbana is an element. So seeing is an element, eye sense is an element, visible object is an element, times five. And then there is an element of three more cheetahs which experience objects in the sense doors only. And then there is an element which includes any other cheetahs are mano-vijnana dhatu, and then any other realities at all not mentioned so far, such as the chetasikas, subtle rupas, and nibbana, are another kind of element, dharma dhatu. But anyway, so 18 kinds of elements, but actually just referring to all realities, to in order to understand no one here, no one there at all, just different elements arising and falling away, or nibbana, the unconditioned element. So it's all to show that these realities are not self.
Element as in fire, temperature, earth, heaviness.
Element
as in something impersonal.
It helps very much to understand no self, no person.
Air in motion?
I think.
No.
So even consciousness is a thing?
Yes.
In this sense?
I see.
Mm.
Air.
I'm not sure about the thing.
Oh, is it the element?
Element. So, air motion element.
But that's the conventional idea of element.
I see.
Oh. Here we are. All realities are elements of one kind or another. So even, as I said, seeing consciousness. Hearing consciousness.
Heat and cold, whatever.
Yes, also.
An example from seeing consciousness. Yes. So, Ibe sees, cheetah experiences.
The seeing consciousness.
Right, seeing consciousness, visible object, rupa, composed of elements? No, conventional.
Each one is an element.
So how is it element?
It's an element because each reality cannot be broken down further, so it cannot be divided or separated, or it's just a reality.
So as in kalapas arise in groups of eight, they cannot be broken down any further. No.
Just think of each reality, each nama, each rupa, each mental or physical reality is an element that cannot be divided at all. It's just the smallest part or element, the reality, that can be directly known.
I think we say that element is that which has its own characteristic.
Yes.
Unchangeable.
Yes. Cannot be broken down further.
It bears from, I think, dhatu is from, bears dhara. But it's from the same root. It bears its own characteristic, its own nature.
Dharati.
Yes.
It's just what Ajahn said before. Atanod is a phrase. It bears the nature of its. It bears its own intrinsic nature. bears its own intrinsic nature. I think can be quite confusing, potentially, especially in the beginning. I don't think they're easy to tease out, but like what you were talking about before and what Sarah just alluded to just a moment ago, you know, when you often talk about eye base, you know, that is a dhatu, you know, it's called chaku dhatu. Sometimes they call them chaku pasada. It's just a rupa. So as Sarah was saying there, you've got those five sense bases and then the five objects of those bases and then the consciousness of each one. Well, we're not going to go through them all, but then... Sorry?
They're not objects of the base. They're objects of the consciousness.
Objects are conscious. Thank you. No, I understand. It's three times five. I understand. Yes. Anyway, objects of consciousness. You know, that's another dhatu. You know, chaku vijnana dhatu or sota vijnana dhatu or gahana vijnana dhatu. They're all. Yeah, we can complicate them by different names. But as Ajahn said, it's a way to express another way. It's another dhamma. To express a way of expressing reality, and that you could say it's an elaboration of nama and an elaboration of rupa. So, as we know, there are many different ways to classify, as Ajahn's pointed out many times, many different ways to classify dhammas, and dhatu is just another one.
I have a question about. In the van on the way over here, the question came up of endurance. Would that go under virya or kanti, or what is endurance?
A reality, for sure. And we can say that it's an aspect of virya.
An aspect of virya.
And we can say kanti is an aspect of virya too.
Seeing those photos of Alan, I just really appreciated him way back then when I first heard of his talking, and it was all about nama and rupa, and I just, yeah.
So, are all dhammas tattoo?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Different tattoos, different dhammas.
Different dhatus, different dhammas, characteristic cannot be changed, cannot be broken down further. One word at a time.
I love the word dhatu. I love reflecting on realities as elements or dhatus. Whenever I hear or reflect on dhatus, it really reminds me about anatta, about different realities as anatta, because they're just elements, that's all. Nothing, no one there at all.
No one there at all.
If we don't use the word Dhamma, can we use the word tattoo?
Yes, mm-hmm. I think so.
Exactly the same.
Interchangeably?
Yes.
Interchangeably, wow.
Or aggregate?
But Dhatu and Dhamma includes Nibbana, yes.
See, I had the difficulty in getting to touch toward leaning toward that was I had the impression that citta was a number of things, that in order to be a dhatu it had to be singular. Not necessarily, it's just that the characteristic is unchangeable and it cannot be broken down further. Citta is citta is citta. Citta is life, that's what life is, all these cittas one after another. But now I have dhatu to work on. Lots of things.
Chitta, life is chitta and chetasika.
Chitta and chetasika, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget.
Life is dhammas.
My last question, not a question, but to see the danger of samsara is basically is the panya. Panya.
But it because has you to don't be see, you don't have thought about so carefully. When we talk about Dhamma, it has to be known as nothing but that which appears. No one can control it, uncontrollable, and it does not belong to anyone at all. Just that.
Thank you.
The word Dhamma and the word Dhatu, they come from the same root word, which means to hold or to bear or to carry. They carry their own nature.
So what is Dhamma?
Reality.
Reality. Is what is Dhatu?
Dhamma, reality.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Seeing.
Yeah. Yes. It's a reality.
Yeah. It's not icy.
It's a reality. It's a reality. And rupa, the thing arising, a reality. Nama rupa, reality. Dhamma dhatu.
What is hunger?
Hunger.
Hunger.
Hungry.
Oh, hungry. Hunger. It's a reality.
Is it tattoo?
Yes.
What tattoo is it? It means what reality is it? The same thing.
Can it experience anything?
No.
Really?
No, hunger itself cannot experience anything. It's a cheetah. Cheetah.
Can cheetah experience anything?
Cheetah experiences the hunger. Hunger is just a concept. But I feel a sensation. No?
What is real is real. Is hunger real?
When there's that painful feeling, is that real?
Yes.
So it's no matter what it's called, it's not a concept, it's that's a reality.
Yes.
And when it's that painful feeling, what kind of reality is that?
It's a dhatu, a dhamma.
It can't experience anything.
What kind?
Hunger itself doesn't experience.
If it's, you said it's a feeling. If it's painful feeling, does feeling experience anything?
Feeling is what?
Yes. It's a chetasika. It's a cheetah. Yeah, cheetah.
Chetasika.
So cheetah-sika. Does it experience anything at that time?
It's experiencing hunger.
No.
Fire.
That's why there should be precise understanding about that which experience and that which cannot experience. Can the table be hungry? Hungry? No. So the rupa cannot feel.
No. Yes, rupa doesn't experience.
So what is hunger?
Cheetah experiences the hunger.
So a cheetah with chetasikas,
yes,
which feel unpleasant feeling.
Yes, the painful feeling, hunger.
Mm-hmm. And the painful feeling that arises with that body consciousness and what rupas are experienced through the body sense.
Touch, hardness, softness, temperature, heat, motion.
So no hunger, rupa. So the hunger is the unpleasant feeling, the painful feeling, which experiences that hardness or that heat or cold.
Yes.
Inside.
I was getting confused today. Thank you for helping to clarify.
It's difficult.
The more we talk about reality, there should be considering about whether it is that which experience or that which is not. Because they arise seems together, but actually they're different.
If you remember that through the body sense only hardness, softness, temperature, motion is experienced, then it's clear that anything else is not tangible object, it's just an idea or it's a nama, such as the painful feeling which experiences it.
Yes.
So is there any contacting inside the body?
Contact. Yes.
Nama rupa?
Rasa. Nama.
Experience and that which is experienced.
Yes.
Is rupa.
Yes.
And when it's pain, we call it hunger.
Yes. So the table doesn't experience, but hardness, degree of hardness
is experienced.
Yes.
Can there be hunger at moment of touching this?
No, it's one at a time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.